the spiritual condition of America, politics, culture, and current events, analyzed through the lens of Scripture. Welcome to the Alex McFarland Show.
Independence, liberty, freedom. Certainly these are words cherished by all thinking Americans, and we're going to talk about this and more on today's edition of the Alex McFarland Program. Welcome. Thank you for listening. We've got a very, very special program, and a valued friend and colleague for many years, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, whom I will introduce in just a moment. But I want to begin the show by talking about a very interesting experience I had last week. I was asked to film a segment with Fox News, and Lauren Green from New York City and a crew of half a dozen people flew to my hometown of Greensboro, North Carolina, and along with my friend, Reverend Odell Cleveland of Mount Zion Baptist Church, one of the largest black churches in North America. We went to the International Civil Rights Museum, which is in downtown Greensboro. And many of you will recall in 1960, there were four young black men that went into the restaurant area and they were refused service. And the first public restaurant in America where blacks and whites ultimately were served together was there at the Woolworth lunch counter, and they were called the sit-ins. No doubt in your history books in school, you've seen the pictures. These four black men just quietly, nonviolent, very humbly sat down, and all four tried to order a 10-cent cup of coffee. And they were refused service, they were threatened, and some things happened. But eventually, the lunch counter was integrated, and blacks and whites would dine together. Well, I went to the International Civil Rights Museum because now that Woolworth is a historic place and is being considered to become a World Heritage Site. But I met the curator of the museum, and there was a big copy of the Declaration of Independence on a chart, line by line explained, and the principles of the American Revolution, our pathway to freedom, and ultimately what Abraham Lincoln would call government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Where does this come from? It didn't come out of a vacuum. It didn't come out of thin air. It came from the biblical principles, the moral code we find in Exodus 20, the principles at Genesis 1:27 that man is made in God's image, and therefore every person has intrinsic value. Even at the Civil Rights Museum in downtown Greensboro, which is not a Christian organization per se, it's just undeniable that these things we cherish in America, liberty, personhood, freedom, stability, even prosperity, they come from the Word of God. But ultimately, all that's great about America has come as a blessing from the hand of God. Well, to talk about that, my friend, a person for whom I just have immeasurable respect, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, he's been a guest with us many times, both on radio and on television. And with the Providence Forum, they've done some amazing work. They've done a video that we did our best to promote on the Pilgrims. They've covered the life of George Washington, but a new project called The Road to Independence. And I want to talk about that, and I want everybody listening to avail yourselves to the great resources created by the Providence Forum. But Dr. Jerry Newcomb, thank you for the great work you do, and thank you for, again, being with us on this broadcast.
I appreciate it, Alex. Thanks for the opportunity.
As you and I record this, it's early summer, and you're in Florida, I would assume, right?
Yes.
And that's been your home for many years. You worked with D. James Kennedy. Give people just a kind of a synopsis of your journey and what you're doing now.
Well, by the grace of God, I am the longest lasting full-time employee of what is now called D. James Kennedy Ministries. 37 years, by the grace of God. And
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much. And my responsibilities through the years have changed in some ways, but ultimately I am still a video producer, writer, and Providence Forum is a new division of D. James Kennedy Ministries, but it's not a new ministry. It was founded by Dr. Peter Lilback, who is now the president of Westminster Seminary. He and I wrote a book together called George Washington's Sacred Fire. And he decided to donate Providence Forum to D. James Kennedy Ministries so it could continue while he still does his full-time work with the seminary. And so I'm the one who heads it up, and I'm grateful for that.
Let me interject this. You and Dr. Lilback graciously gave me a copy of that book, Sacred Fire, which my wife and I read together. It's a phenomenal book. And we keep it in our living room on a table. And many, many guests in our home have picked up this book. They couldn't put it down, and they were just surprised to find the fervent Christian faith of our first president. So that book, that's got to be something you're very proud of, how God has used that monumental work.
I'm very grateful to have been a part of it. Dr. Lilback once said to an audience at our church about 2 or 3 or 4 years after the book had come out, he had said, you know, that book to be probably would still be a book to be with more and more boxes filled with all these papers until Jerry Newcomb became a part of the process, because he helped me to kind of take it to a crisis point. In other words, to get it finished.
Sure.
But it was a lot of work, and we're so grateful for it. And I was told that Dr. Jerry Falwell, when he died, they decided to leave his desk at the Liberty School, Liberty University, as it was at the time of his death. And I was told that there was a copy of Sacred Fire there among just a few other books, of course, the Bible being another one, much more important book. And a friend of mine visited there and said, it's true, it's true. He even managed to get a couple of photos for me.
Wow.
Bottom line is, George Washington was a devout 18th century Anglican. That's where the evidence shows. And Anglicans in those days, the Episcopalians today, were much more, you know, orthodox in their views. He carried around a copy of the Book of Common Prayer, the 1662 version. We point out in the book, that little Book of Common Prayer, 1662, was more orthodox than probably 95% of the books you're going to find in a Christian bookstore today. Mm-hmm. And so bottom line is, we, in effect, gave George Washington back where he belonged. He never should have been classified as a deist, as a non-believer. But some people, even to this day, still make that mistake. And it's like, read what he himself said. And it's important that we get back to the facts. So, and Providence Forum, by the way, was the publisher of that book. So I feel like, wow, my life is kind of coming full circle here. But again, I've done 19 books with Dr. D. James Kennedy. And in fact, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? That was a very
incredible
one. And that just kind of set the whole template. And it was because of that book that Dr. Lilback wanted me to collaborate with him. So I'm just very grateful.
Sure. Wow. Well, listen, we've got to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back and get into the topic of the road to independence. This is Alex McFarland. We're speaking with Dr. Jerry Newcomb of the Providence Forum and D. James Kennedy Ministries. Stay tuned. We're going to come back right after this brief break.
Fox News and CNN call Alex McFarland a religion and culture expert. Stay tuned for more of his teaching and commentary after this.
Christian author and speaker Alex McFarland is an advocate for Christian apologetics. Teaching in more than 2,200 churches around the world, schools, and college campuses, Alex is driven by a desire to help people grow in relationship with God. He arms his audiences with the tools they need to defend their faith, while also empowering the unchurched to find out the truth for themselves. In the midst of a culture obsessed with relativism, Alex is a sound voice who speaks timeless truths of Christianity in a timely way. With 18 published books to his name, it's no surprise that CNN, Fox, The Wall Street Journal, and other media outlets have described Alex as a religion and culture expert. To learn more about Alex and to book him as a speaker at your next event, visit alexmcfarland.com, or you can contact us directly by emailing booking@alexmcfarland.com.
He's been called trusted, truthful, and timely. Welcome back to the Alex McFarland Show.
Welcome back to the Alex McFarland Program. So honored to have as our guest a scholar and a friend and a colleague, Dr. Jerry Newcomb. You know, before the break, Dr. Newcomb, we were talking about the book Sacred Fire, and I wanted to mention also the book Doubting Thomas, because just before summer began, I spoke at East Tennessee State University in Johnson City, Tennessee, and it's just become kind of, I don't know if I should call it an urban legend or conventional wisdom, but people who have not seen the history, they just assume that all of the founders were, quote, atheist or deist. And in the book Sacred Fire, in the book Doubting Thomas, you and your researchers, you show that many of the founders, if not virtually all of the signers of the Declaration, at least believed in God and morality, and many were faithful believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Frankly, I think it's a very exciting area of study, isn't it, to see the vibrant spiritual reality, the Christianity of the founders?
Well, in the case of George Washington, I would absolutely put him in the category of committed Christian with belief in, you know, with Orthodox teaching. In the case of Thomas Jefferson, I think it'd be fair to say that he went through different stages in his life. And certainly he went through a stage where he questioned some of the key doctrines of the Christian faith. But he was always a believer in God. And he was always a believer that God would one day hold us accountable. And the modern atheists, they discount that just that very core value. And that's very important. A second point that we bring out in Doubting Thomas, not only that he was not a lifelong skeptic, but near the end, he had some serious doubts. But number two, he did not believe in what Richard John Neuhouse called the naked public square. In other words, he did not believe in the ACLU's version of the strict separation of church and state. He certainly believed that godly principles from the Bible should be taught. People talk about the so-called Jefferson Bible. They don't realize the Jefferson Bible, so-called, he never called it that. It was never put in print. But basically, his goal with that was to call out through the Gospels, the teachings of Jesus, and especially he wanted to present them to the Indians. When the Louisiana Purchase occurred, there was all of a sudden, you know, thousands of Indians that were added to America overnight. And many of them had never seen a missionary or heard about Jesus or heard about the teachings of Jesus. You know, things like do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love even your enemy. Pray for those who do bad things to you. You know, all that kind of good stuff. Turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. That's all from Jesus. And he wanted them to know about those things. So he called through the Gospels looking for those things. Some people say, oh, he went through the Gospels in order to find the parts where there were no miracles. Well, there are some miracles, actually, in some of those teachings that are found in the so-called Jefferson Bible. But it's a very different approach to realize, no, he just wanted to have the Native Americans to have the benefit of Christian teaching without, as he put it, the encumbrance of all the kind of doctrines about the Christology and the Trinity and all that kind of stuff. That's above their level of understanding. I mean, that's the way he put it. I'm sorry.
Right,
it's
right.
A little racist or something today by today's standards. But bottom line is Jefferson's goal in the so-called Jefferson Bible is present the teachings of Jesus. Later on, by the way, he did for his own personal edification a variation of the same thing where he had the teachings of Jesus, but he did it in English. He did it in three other languages, including the Greek New Testament, including French. I mean, the guy was a big student of the teachings of Jesus. And I'm sorry, but, you know, that's forbidden in the ACLU's universe.
Right. Well, and also the militant secularists and the historical revisers, I mean, they've got an agenda that they want to set forth and carefully defend. And so that's why they try, in my opinion at least, to recast the founders as consistent secularists, which is certainly not the case.
Yeah, and the vast majority of them were absolutely believers in Jesus. Most of them were Trinitarian, members of Trinitarian churches, and 27 of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence had the equivalency of seminary degrees.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot more Christianity than people realized. And a lot of founding fathers that aren't very famous, but they were very strong, committed Christians.
Exactly. You know, traveling as I have done for 25 years, you know, it's been my privilege to speak in a lot of churches throughout all 50 states. And east of the Mississippi, I said this in one of my debates with an atheist that said, there's no Christianity in our founding. We were not, you know, a Christian nation. And I said, you know, I've walked through many cemeteries. In fact, in my home state of North Carolina, I mean, there are some cemeteries dating back to the late 1600s. And if you look, say, 1700 to the mid-20th century, the first, you know, 300 years of our nation, and it dawned on me, and I've all throughout the Eastern Seaboard, I've walked through cemeteries. You cannot fail to notice 99% of the gravestones have something Christian. Psalm 23, or the Lord is my shepherd, or safe in the arms of Jesus. Right. Once in a blue moon, you'll find a gravestone with like nothing but a name and a date, or maybe a Star of David, like it was a Jewish person. But in all of these historic cemeteries, 1700s, 1800s, the 20th century. Now, I've noticed this. Once you go west of the Mississippi, the towns become younger. In fact, as you get to California, and you'll find some towns that were settled in the early 1900s, whereas, you know, in my home state of North Carolina, the first town, Manio, 1587. I've said to all these atheists, look, if we weren't a pervasively Christian nation, why is it that any cemetery, say, pre-1970s, 99% of all the gravestones will have something biblical, if not overtly Christian? Clearly, this was a gospel-steeped culture, wasn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, Rod Gragg, an historian, I believe he lives in North Carolina, or maybe South Carolina, but close by in North Carolina. Anyway, he wrote a book called Forged in Faith, and he once made a very interesting point. He said, even if some of the founding fathers representing the colonists back home might personally have harbored personal doubts or whatever, the fact of the matter is they knew they were representing a Christian people. Mm. And the Declaration of Independence is filled with Christian ideas and Christian thoughts. And in fact, in North Carolina, in the Charlotte area, Mecklenburg County, the Mecklenburg Presbyterians came up with something called the Mecklenburg Declaration, a whole year before our Declaration of Independence. And there's some wording that directly comes from the Mecklenburg Declaration that's found its way into the Declaration of Independence, such as our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. We you know, commit those for the purpose of this declaration. And again, this is a bunch of Presbyterians. Ephraim Brevard was the leader, Reverend Ephraim Brevard was the leader of that Mecklenburg Declaration. But in a sense, the Declaration of Independence was a brilliant copy and paste job from Christian sources.
Well said.
Very important to the founders were the Bible, number one, that was quoted four times more than any human author. And then as far as human authors, Montesquieu, very Christian thinker, Sir William Blackstone, right. Christian commentator on the laws of England, and then John Locke.
Yeah.
John Locke, you read his, you know, his second treatise on government, and there's about, what I believe it's 90 references or whatever to the Bible. Even the book Common Sense,
right,
by Thomas Paine, 1776. Thomas Paine later became an atheist. There's no question about that. In fact, 1793, the Age of Reason, he shakes his fist at God. But read Common Sense. And it's pro-God, and it's pro-the Bible. It's pro, he talks about the Word of God, it all with respect and everything. And even if he didn't believe those things, he was speaking to people who did believe those things.
Right, right.
You know, 99.8% of the population were professing Christians, the vast majority of those being Protestant at the time of independence. So it's just false. The information, you know, we've been given this idea that, oh, the founders, they wanted to declare independence from God. No, they wanted to declare independence from Great Britain, but in effect, declare dependence on God. The Declaration of Independence, in fact, mentions God four times and says, most importantly, that our rights come from God.
Last week, there was a statistic that I was asked to comment on. The most recent survey says 81% of adults believe in God. Some of my friends said, oh, wow, isn't it great that it's that high? Actually, that's the lowest that I'm told that it's been since they've measured such things, that for decades, 96 to 98% of Americans believed in God. What does it mean to you that roughly 19 to 20%, one out of five, are saying they don't believe in God? In your opinion, Dr. Newcomb, what does this mean for the present and future of America?
Well, I think that we really are ripe for great change, for positive change. It's you know, they say sometimes it becomes the light gets darker just before the dawn. You know, it's almost a cliche, but there are times where God, in his mercy, has changed things and turned things around. I think America is definitely in due of a great revival. But it's a sobering thought, because here's the deal, Alex. A lot of people don't think they're going to be accountable to God. They live their lives in such a way that they don't think that they're going to have to give an answer to God. Well, even Thomas Jefferson, even, you know, all the key founders, Ben Franklin, they all knew that they were going to have to give an account before God. And that makes a huge difference as to how we live. And what a rude awakening it will be for those 19% or whatever, if they continue in that and then they die. And then, of course, they stand before God. And what are they going to do? Say, hey, I didn't believe in you. I don't have to be here. You know, depart from me, you cursed. I never knew you, said Jesus. Bye-bye. I mean, that's it. You know, they'll be in for a rude awakening.
Yeah. You know, Romans says that even the Gentiles who don't have the oracles of God, as the Jews did, in their heart, they know. And that's why Romans says man is without excuse. We've got to take a brief break. We're going to come back and talk about the road to independence with our very special guest, scholar, author, broadcaster, Christian thinker, Dr. Jerry Newcomb. Don't go away. The Alex McFarland Show is back after this.
Fox News and CNN call Alex McFarland a religion and culture expert. Stay tuned for more of his teaching and commentary after this.
Are you tired of liberal agendas ruining our country, but you don't know what to do about it? That's why Truth and Liberty Coalition was founded. We want to equip you to take back our country and impact the world. Here's how we do it. We educate through broadcasts, conferences, and our website with resources that inform, equip, and motivate. We unify by collaborating with like-minded organizations like the Family Research Council, the Family Policy Alliance, and My Faith Votes. We mobilize by providing practical tools you can use to impact your local community. As Christians, we are called to make disciples of nations. Together, we can change the course of our country for good. Join Truth and Liberty to connect with believers and organizations who not only want to see a change in our nation, but a community that is actually doing something about it. Join us online for our broadcast and subscribe for relevant updates on our website, truthandliberty.net.
He's been called trusted, truthful, and timely. Welcome back to the Alex McFarland Show.
Welcome back to the program. Before we resume our conversation with Dr. Jerry Newcomb, I want to remind everybody the newly redesigned website, alexmcfarland.com. We've got my speaking schedule, our youth camp, but our clubs, we are starting Viral Truth Youth Clubs all over America. We're corresponding with young people. These are middle school, high schoolers, college students, and we submit talking points. We help them. We coach them to talk about the gospel with their friends, biblical worldview. If you would like to help charter a Viral Truth Biblical Worldview Club, just write to us. Go to my website, alex@alexmcfarland.com. We'll send you all you need, and just volunteer, organize, and youth can reach youth for God and country. Keep us in prayer and visit alexmcfarland.com. Dr. Jerry Newcomb, I want to talk about the road to independence, because this is the most recent project with the Providence Forum. Before we get too far, give your website. How can people find the Providence Forum online?
providenceforum.org. Again, this is a division of D. James Kennedy Ministries now, and we're very excited about this latest project. What we've been doing is I've been working on a series of films on the Judeo-Christian roots of America. It's called The Foundation of American Liberty, and there's seven total in the whole series. And this is the third one that we've released. The first one was The Pilgrims. The second one was on the life of George Washington and his faith. And the third one is called The Road to Independence. And it shows how Christianity, in one way or another, helped influence the founding of America.
Wow. How did you begin to make this? Did you film at historic locations around the country or what?
Yes. Well, let me say this. By the grace of God, I was able to, in some ways, anchor the whole series through a number of interviews with key guests, people that I thought, this is good. People need to hear from these people. So, for example, by the grace of God, okay, I'm going to just list a bunch of names, but Dennis Prager of Prager U, Eric Metaxas, Dr. Oz Guinness, the late Dr. Walter Williams, Peter Lilback, with whom I wrote the big book about George Washington's faith. And he's a walking encyclopedia on America's roots. Oh, and speaking of that, Bill Federer, Reverend Travis Witt, who's a Christian educator and a tremendous intellectual on these things. Dan Fisher. Dan Fisher is extremely prominent in the Road to Independence episode of the Foundation of American Liberty series. He wrote a book called Bringing Back the Black Robed Regiment. And so anyway, he's a big guest in that. Also, Alveda King, who is the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who has a great respect for America.
I have to smile because virtually all of the people that you mention are friends and colleagues. They've spoken for us at our conferences. And
so, yeah,
folks, you need to experience the products and the videos created by the Providence Forum. These are top-tier scholars and communicators, aren't they, Jerry?
Well, yes, we are grateful to say so, yes. And by the way, retired Judge Darrell White, the president and founder of Retired Judges of America, Joyce Burgess of the Black Homeschool League, she and her husband co-founded that organization. So anyway, and Jenna Ellis, the constitutional attorney. So bottom line is, when the interviews started coming into place, that's what I really kind of built everything around, to get the interviews. And then Paul Jaylee, a pilgrim expert, and Leo Martin also and Rod Gregg, whom I mentioned before as an historian and so forth. So I use the interviews in effect as kind of the key thing around which I built everything. But in this particular episode, The Road to Independence, I showed how the ministers played a very important part, especially the New England ministers, in terms of preaching independence and helping lead the process towards us becoming an independent nation. I showed how the Great Awakening was the first major move. There were two developments in the mid-1700s, the French and Indian War and the Great Awakening. Those two things caused the independent colonies up and down the seacoast to start to communicate with each other and then realize how much they had in common and so forth. Prior to that, everybody would just have to individually go to Great Britain to get their patent renewed or get their charter approved, you know, whatever. And so anyway, bottom line is that there are so many ways in which Christianity played a role, even in the very climax of the film is the shot heard around the world. It's all about Lexington Concord. And that even has a church angle. The people at Lexington, who were those? Those were the deacons and leaders at Jonas Clark's church in Lexington. The reason the British even stopped there on their way to Concord was because they had heard rumors that Sam Adams and John Hancock were meeting with the Reverend Jonas Clark, which was true. And that was the fateful night when, you know, the British are coming, the British are coming.
Dr. Newcomb, wasn't it true that really many of the colonial churches were in the crosshairs of Cornwallis's soldiers because soldiers were being conscripted into the Continental Army in the church congregations, weren't they?
Yes, they were. And in fact, I think one of the most fascinating parts of the documentary I'm just so pleased the way how this turned out, was the contrast between two Lutheran ministers, the Muhlenberg brothers. One was John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg. And in a sense, when Mel Gibson made his classic movie, The Patriot, he patterned one scene where he has this minister who's preaching. He says there's a time and a place for everything under the sun. There's a time for war. There's a time for peace. You know, now is the time for war. He pulls off his robe and he's dressed like a colonial, you know, regimental officer. And he recruits men to help and defend their country land. Right there in church, he does this. Mm-hmm. And a whole bunch of people sign up. That was based on John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg in an incident that occurred in Virginia. And meanwhile, his brother is a minister, a Lutheran minister in New York City. And he writes to his younger brother, you know, you're getting too involved in politics, you know. And his brother writes back, well, you're getting too much like a Tory British sympathizer. And they're kind of going at it back and forth. And then the 19 churches or whatever are attacked and destroyed or, you know, damaged in many ways by the British in New York City. And Frederick Augustus Muhlenberg has a change of heart. And he goes on not only to say, not only should Christians get involved in politics, he ends up becoming the first speaker of the House of the Representatives of the United States of America. It was under his leadership that the Bill of Rights, that is the First Ten Amendments, were passed. You know, so what a change of heart. Bottom line is Christians should be involved in the political process. We have government of the people, by the people, for the people, a phrase that comes from Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, but who did it ultimately come from? It came from the morning star of the Reformation, John Wycliffe, 1382.
Sure.
In other words, it goes way back. Bottom line is the Bible teaches us that we are to be good citizens. And as Christians, we should be active in the political process. You know, partisan people, that's one thing, but to be salt and light in the country, that's what we're called to do.
You know, we've only got a couple of more minutes, but I'm listening to you, and I think about how, you know, in the colonies, you had people that were pious, you had people that were moral, and people that believed in freedom as a gift from God. And then you had the people that were the British sympathizers, you had people that were playing it safe, on the fence, and then you had people that overtly opposed the colonists. Well, I think about that now today, where people of good faith, people who believe in morals, the rule of law, people that believe in our Constitution, people who believe in natural rights, not special rights, and yet there are those in the media, in politics, they call us deplorable. In January of 2020, when Joe Biden was a candidate, he said, quote, there is no place in the Democrat Party for someone who is not pro-choice. And right now, even as there's the whisper of the rescinding of Roe versus Wade, our Supreme Court justices are being threatened. Dr. Newcomb, in what ways is the America of 2022 teetering on either stability or anarchy, freedom or bondage? In what ways are we analogous to the fledgling colonies attempting to birth a nation in 1776?
Well, I'll tell you, the key is the church. The church is the hope for America, and it's Christians to just be faithful where they are, where they are called to be. And many are. Many are faithful where they are. You are faithful, and I thank God for that. And I thank God for these, for example, the crisis pregnancy centers. They are showing the love of Jesus Christ to a woman caught in this situation where she thinks she wants to get an abortion. They don't realize, many of them don't realize that, well, first of all, about 10% of them will never be able to get pregnant again. So you end up losing having a baby, the chance to have a baby. Number two, many of them feel guilty later on and even suicidal ideations and so forth. Not all, but those who don't feel guilty a lot of times become very hard in their hearts. And that's not a good situation. The relationships, for example, marital relationships or boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, they end up promoting abortion, or they have an abortion. The woman has an abortion and those relationships, they split. Abortion is just not an easy fix like the way it's made out to be. Christians are providing a loving alternative. If Christians can just continue to be faithful where God has placed us, it makes all the difference in the world. It's when we become unsalty. In other words, like just, abortion, that's a political topic. I'm not going to speak out on it. Well, you know, the church always spoke out against abortion.
As an evangelist, it's been my privilege to preach and give an altar call in 2,000 churches, literally. In fact, my publishers asked me, they said, we want to know everywhere you've ever preached. Go back as far. From 1996, we quit counting just before COVID in early 2020, and we quit counting at 2,000 churches. And I've probably been in 75 or 100 since then. But here's my point, and we have to close. I give the altar call. I stand at the front. I pray with people that come forward. Dr. Newcomb, hundreds of times, women probably in their 60s, tearfully weeping, come to the altar, and I'll say, how may I pray with you? They'll say, well, you know, 4 or 5 decades ago, as a early 20s, I had an abortion. It's haunted me for all these years. And I want to be quick to say this, because somebody, some skeptic would say, oh yeah, they feel bad, all this guilt because of the societal pressure. No, I've prayed with hundreds of women at the altar, and they cry because they grieve 5 decades after the fact. They're grieving for a relationship they never had with their child. They're grieving, and they said, you know, please pray that God would forgive me. And of course, we know there is complete forgiveness in Jesus. But for those that are dismissive and say, abortion, it's a procedure, it's done, you move on. No, these dear ladies, they don't move on. They hurt for the rest of their lives, don't they?
Yes, they do. But as you say, there is grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. And so one of the things we do at Providence Forum, providenceforum.org, is we send out a digest on a regular basis where we're sending out articles about our Judeo-Christian roots and why it matters, and how, you know, and why does it matter? I mean, you're just talking about abortion. Well, our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, says that we have these unalienable rights that come from the Creator. And the first one listed is the right to life. Well, there it is. You know, it's like, I was at a pro-abortion rally about 2 months ago, mainly to take photos, you know, just sort of, behind the scenes and stuff. And I went away to thinking, you know, every single one of these persons has one thing in common. They've all been born. Yes. Now they're trying to deprive that privilege of others. But at Providence Forum, we send out not only articles, we send out short little vignettes about our Christian roots, little videos about that. We send out podcasts. We've got to get you back on the program for a podcast and so forth. But we send out also even quizzes, kind of test your knowledge about America's Christian roots. But our goal ultimately is that there would be a true revival that people would understand. But when you have a congresswoman like AOC, literally a person in Congress who said that the three branches of government are the House, the Senate, and the presidency, well, that doesn't even pass basic civics. I mean, you know, the three branches of government are the legislative, which is the House and the Senate, and then there's the executive, which is the presidency, and then there's the court system. It's astounding, but there's a lot of ignorance about things. Karl Marx once said, if you can separate a people from their history, then you can remake them the way you want to remake them. And they've been the Marxists in the universities and the Marxists in the streets have been very successful in trying to do that. I'm rereading 1984 right now.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm rereading it. And there's a totalitarian instinct on the side of the left. You see it in this example of the so-called pro-choice. When they're pro-choice, but they're only promoting one choice. Well, wait a minute. If you only have one choice, then you're not in favor of choices. You're in favor of only one choice, then that's an oxymoron, pro-choice.
You know, I think if George Orwell looked at the left today and the Democrat Party, he would say, you know, you people are awful.
Yeah.
But we've got to pull away. Dr. Jerry Newcomb, I appreciate you so much. I thank you just personally as a friend and a colleague, but I thank you for all that you and your staff are doing for this country. Folks, I'm going to close with a quote. In 1954, Supreme Court Justice Earl Warren was interviewed by Time magazine. And think about this quote as we close. He said, No one can read the history of our country without seeing that, and these were his words, the good book and the spirit of the Savior have from the beginning been our guiding genius. He said, as long as we do not deviate from these, I believe no great harm can come to us. Well, we have deviated, and I think we're seeing the fruits of our turning away from God. Let's you and I today commit, and we all can do our part, to turn to the Lord personally, to be an influence to those around us, to pray for America, to intercede, and to be salt and light. And remember 1 Corinthians 15:58, that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. May God bless you. We look forward to having another program very soon. Please join us when we do.
Alex McFarland Ministries are made possible through the prayers and financial support of partners like you. For over 20 years, this ministry has been bringing individuals into a personal relationship with Christ and has been equipping people to stand strong for truth. Learn more and donate securely online at alexmcfarland.com. You may also reach us at Alex McFarland, P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404, or by calling 1-877-YES-GOD-1. That's 1-877-YES-GOD-1. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again on the next edition of the Alex McFarland Show.